Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Oh, fighting words on both sides of the school choice argument. My mother taught in the public schools 35 years. She hated choice. A lot of people do. If you teach, if you're in the public school system, you're going to hate it because you're taking money away. But there's a movement of force out there politically that feels the schools are corrupt and in some cases unions run the show in a negative way and they want some options. Joining me now is Brandon Wright, the editorial director for the Thomas Fordham Institute. Hello, Mr. Wright.
Hey.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I have to say, my mother was always jealous because if somebody misbehaved at Central Catholic High School or whatever the case was where I grew up, they would just be sent to the public school. I mean, she always complained she had the some of the undesirables and the private schools could just kick them out. I mean, just before we even get into the serious meat of the discussion, I mean, there's an emotional, visceral reaction to the whole question of choice.
Yeah. I mean, but I think we ought to be careful when we talk about or imply that essentially public schools are sort of open to everyone and charters and especially private schools aren't. Now, it's certainly true that private schools obviously are not open to everyone, but it's also actually true that public schools often aren't either. Now, people in a given town, right, have the right to go to their school, but you have to live in the town first. And often more affluent public schools, which happen to be the higher performing public schools, are in communities that really cost a lot to live in. So before we even talk about whether charters are good or bad or, you know, public schools are better.
Well, charters don't be private. They can be public, right?
Right. When I say public school, I sort of mean traditional public
school. Right. Standard.
Yeah, I should be more specific.
Well, that's right.
I just think it's important to acknowledge that school choice in some way has sort of always been around. It's just that the only people who were able to take advantage of
rich people. Oh, well, that's
exactly
true. Well, that's kind of true with healthcare. I mean, the Shah came to New York Hospital. He didn't go to Panama, right? I mean, that's what happens. I mean, where the money can get you the best result, you'll do it. I think what has happened, though, is there's been this longstanding argument that if you take money out of the public schools, you are undermining the general mission. But is it your point and the point of those who agree with you that the public schools are to a large extent failing and ineffective and sometimes corrupt, which means that you're wasting the money?
Well, no, that's not my argument. I think there are good and bad traditional public schools, just like there are good and bad private and charter schools. What I like about choice is that it more accurately reflects us as Americans in different towns, in different states. Each and every family, each and every community has a different set of values and needs, and they should be free to find the school or design or open or run whichever school they think works best for their town or their family or their son as opposed to their daughter, right? Everyone is sort of different and has different needs.
I understand.
That's a great thing about school choice is that there are all these different types of charter schools and private schools that serve different kids. And that by itself is important. And they also can replace the traditional public schools that are failing, which is primarily what I wanted to talk about on the show.
Right, I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Was that Wisconsin's plan for for turning around their worst performing public schools just sort of falls flat. And one of the ways in which it does fall flat is that it doesn't affirmatively tell districts and schools that they can, for example, replace their worst performing schools with charter schools. Wisconsin already has a large number of charter schools, almost 250. One in every nine schools in the state is a charter school, so it's definitely seen what these schools can do for disadvantaged kids, especially low-income ones in urban areas. So that is a problem, although it's not actually the only fix that the state should consider.
Well, don't we have a problem with the fact that there are just limited slots, and even if they expand, if we made the, theoretically, the charter schools so great that every parent would want their kid to go, every kid can't go. I mean, a small percentage of the kids can get in there, right? I mean, it's limited.
In certain areas, that's definitely true. But the reason why that's true is because of policies that often cap or make it difficult to open new charter schools. Such policies are.
Well, that's true. But most people, did you go to public school yourself when you were a kid?
I did, yes.
I did too, Mike. My engineer did.
Yep, for sure.
Most people do. Most people send their children to public schools. I mean, we have concentrations of severe problems in certain pockets. And those parents, some of them, went the hell out. I mean, that's what started the whole thing. Polly Williams did that here in Wisconsin. And then she turned on her plan eventually. But isn't that the case? I mean, most people, the overwhelming majority of people, go to public schools. And they don't want to see too much money. They don't want it to be a 50-50 proposition on the money.
Well, sure. It really depends on where you're at. In D.C., for example, about half of these schools are charter and half of them are traditional public schools. And they've actually reached a sort of very functional complementary equilibrium. They work really well together, and combined sectors have produced good results, just like charter schools in Milwaukee have also produced good results. Now, certainly, if you have money follow a child and that child leaves a public school, then that money goes to the charter school, right?
Well, I understand that, but, you know, not every child is same value. I hate to say it, but I mean, this whole thing about the money follows the kid, I mean, it kind of is a case by case on that in terms of value, isn't it, Brandon?
It's definitely true, but I think it's more effective and more accurate to talk about it at scale. So obviously, if one kid leaves and that school loses, you know, $10,000 in funding over a given year, it's not like they also lose $10,000 in overhead costs. So I can see the argument that traditional public school advocates make that they're losing cash to charter schools. But it's not like they open a charter school and they serve one kid. They're serving a whole school of kids, and they have their own overhead. And when you take a sufficient number of kids out of a traditional public school, then you lose also the requirement to have certain numbers of teachers and teachers' aides and administrative staff, and your overhead does reduce down.
Go down.
Now,
okay.
Right. So certainly charters might cause more financial strain on traditional public schools than wouldn't otherwise be there, but I think the magnitude of the strain is often exaggerated. And as a side note, whenever we talk about school funding, we need to talk about whether schools are funded enough, but also whether schools are spending the money efficiently. Both of those things are important, and often the answer to both is no. So we should talk about both.
Well, having subbed in the public schools, Brandon, I'll tell you right now that certain, maybe three or four of the students out of a class of 25 need more work, whether it's counselors or psychologists or police officers, whatever. I mean, they need money. The rest of them could be fine either place. So if you have a case where, you know, the private school, you know, you can say they can reach out to at-risk kids, but I'm having a hard time believing that. But, you know, you can always come up with an
example. It's certainly true of private schools, but there are a number of charter schools, if not most charter schools, that can't sort of kick kids out in the way that private schools can. Certainly some can, and some do. But also a lot of traditional public schools do the same thing. I grew up in a public school district where we had alternative schools.
Yeah, we do too. I mean,
yeah, which was really just where you sent all the tough cases to. So again, we should be careful about what we're accusing.
All right, well, let's cut to the chase because I know what you mean, and I'm sorry to, but we're ultimately though. We hear the argument, and I'll talk over the music for a minute, that the competition is good, and some of the competition will help get those tough cases in the public schools in shape or have those teachers do better. I mean, I've always kind of balked at that, but what do you say about that?
In terms of whether competition helps schools...
Helps the public schools. If the private schools show up in bigger numbers and therefore provide competition for the status quo, that will then help improve or beat the public schools into shape. Do you believe that?
I think competition helps improve all schools. I don't know that it helps improve every reason that a school isn't doing well. I don't know that it's going to help them better handle their tough cases. But one of the great things about competition is that it leads to innovation. And that innovation leads to learning about what works better for different kids.
No, I understand that. And that helps the kids that are enjoying it and improving it. I would just say, like Belgium, like John Stossel said, if the public school fails at that point, close the school and bid out a new one. I mean, ultimately, if you're going to operate on that basis. Brandon, give me the website for the Thomas Fordham Institute.
Yeah, it's edexcellence.net, edexcellence.net. We got everything that we publish there easily accessible.
Edexcellence.net. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mitch.
Some observations from the front on this question in a moment on the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
The all-new Mitch Hank Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim Rail knew everything about the area. He knew the schools. He knew what the market was doing and what it trended as far as exactly where we should go in as far as the price to put an offer on and what we should ask for our old house.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would definitely recommend Tim Rail to anyone that was buying or selling a house. We had a great experience, and I think they would too.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
A couple observations, you know, about this whole school thing. I've been doing some subbing. I won't say where. I don't want to harm the innocent. But I've noticed, it depends on where you are, and the grade comes into it, but this attitude of, you know, I know it's late in the year, but there's not a lot of discipline out there. Let's be honest. You talk to the subs, they go, oh, it's changed a lot, boy. I've been doing this 20 years and not a lot of discipline. I mean, some kids just don't even, they don't do anything that they're supposed to do. I mean, you're just constantly saying, no, we got to do this. And you kind of engage them and say, what's the problem? What do you need? Oh, I don't know what this is, or I don't know, you know. It's like, my mother said back in the day, she had a student, count me out. We got to get our notebooks, count me out. Another student said, to each is each. You know. But some kids just look at you like you're crazy. Well, you got to turn to page 43. You look around, you know who's not doing it. And it's like, well, what's your story? And then one school, I'm doing gym and I hear the ball bouncing and people shooting. And I figure, well, I'm doing a little, it's prep time. I'm in the main teacher's office and I hear people bounce. But I figure it's the teacher out there shooting around.
Break time, yeah.
So I go out there. It's like three kids are just shooting ball baskets and they just left their other classes to kind of escape into the gym. I go, you can't be in here. You got to go back to class. And they just ignore me. They just, like, keep shooting, or they go to the other basket. So I'd walk over, and they go to the other, you know, just avoid me. And what do you do? They just ignore you, you know. I mean, you're the sub, or you're the authority figure, right?
Your hands are tied.
And you're going, well, what am I going to do? I can't do anything. I can't, like, yell at them and get in their face and have my neck bulge out, you know, like Vince Lombardi or Bobby Knight. What am I going to do? Finally, you go in and get help, and then somebody comes down, like an administrator.
Somebody with authority.
More authority than I have. But I'm just, it's just bizarre.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in the regular, there's one sixth grade class, I can't give it away, mm-hmm. Seventh hour, where it took me, an assistant teacher, who's kind of a support teacher, and a counselor to kind of handle this group. It was just, whoa, you know, I mean, at the end of it, you want to smoke a cigarette. I don't even smoke.
I believe it.
But I wanted to smoke a cigarette at the end of this class. You know, I would have cracked open one of my dad's old Hams beers at that point. A Hams beer and a cigarette.
Good, huh?
And I watch the teachers who know how to do it. I mean, I watch them.
Yep.
And they're really good. They put their hand up and they wait till all the kids see their hand up.
Right.
Where they'll say, class, class, glue. You know, they'll have this chant. They do. And then they get them all quiet, and they make them do their thing. But you can't just go ad hoc. Don't talk. Don't talk. Don't talk. You know, you just, otherwise you'll be like a stark raving maniac. You'll be living in a padded cell. So, you know, I come away from my experience doing some subbing, thinking teachers deserve a big-time raise. Who's that?
That's a gym for 6:30.
Oh, Jim. Yeah. Jim's early bird. No, I just think, what do you do? You know, I did a story on, I did a story on LEAP in Madison, which is a very severely behaviorally challenged program for kids. At this point, it would be elementary school in Madison. Different levels have different names. Neon is the middle school. You know, the kids that are, they can't really be in the regular classroom, but they're, because they're kind of severely behaviorally challenged, and they're in with other kids, a small number. And you've got like two teachers and two assistants that handle like eight kids.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, if one of them just tears stuff off the wall or kicks somebody or scratches or whatever, you put them in the safe room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the safe room for 10 minutes. Then they come back into the group. I mean, you can't just send them into the safe room for 8 hours.
No, go to the hole.
It's not like you're going to have the kids in the car while you go to the casino slots, which you don't want to do anyway. I'm saying that. But you know, so you go to the hole, for, not hole, but safe room. Safe then you go back for, and then, but ultimately there's never any, you know, there's no accountability. I mean, what you're trying to do with the schools, and they talked to me in the record, is stabilize the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to get, ultimately, try to get the child into the mainstream school, which very seldom happens in this program. But, man, the stress, the wear and tear on the staff in that program. It's like, you know, being an air traffic controller on steroids, you know. And, you know, you do the best you can, but in these cases, what do? To try to teach accountability. And, you know, I can only recall being at basketball camp when I was a kid, and these kids would talk smack about Bob Knight, and they go, I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of him. And then he would walk in, and they would lose their cookies, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if there is an element of intimidation, I don't know what you do. If the state's going to fund a structural type environment, like a not a boot camp, but something there where you have counselors and you have sort of tough taskmasters, you know. I mean, what are you going to do with those types of kids? I mean, you know, you really have to go severe on that if you want to help save those kids, you know. Yeah. Dad's gone, mom might be in a different situation with controlled substances or whatever the case. I'm just being hypothetical. The kid is still the kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? Put them in the safe room for 10 minutes and have them go back and kick again and scratch again and grab stuff off the wall again? Go back into the safe room?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the ultimate answer?
There's got to be some sort of consequence.
And I haven't done that. I haven't taught in that program. But
there has to be some real
just the regular class. I mean, the kids that just do what they want and move around. And I mean, it's normal. It's late in the year. I understand that. But I talk to other teachers and other subs, and they'll say, boy, it's changed.
It just happens all the
time. It wasn't
time.
Like this 20 years ago. So, you know. And, of course, my mother, when she taught for 35 years, she was always bad. She wanted the really troubled ones to be, like, out of her class. She wanted, you go. Just, you know. And she did things. She would take them bowling on the weekend. She tried to do stuff for her tough cases. And then she said they would still steal out of her purse and, you know, whatever. And some were abused, you know, in many ways by their step-parents or whatever, you know, ugly stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did her best, but her point is, if it really got bad, you know, it took away from the other class.
The whole class, right, right.
Nobody
else is learning.
And I think sometimes the administrators, well, we have a program and we're going to try and stabilize them and we're going to, you know. I talked to one staffer about that, and this person said, I've never met that administrator, you know. So, I mean, you know, it's usually what it is. In terms of the regular class, I mean, I've seen the good teachers. I've watched them when the kids are noisy and running around and all that. And they go, we don't have to go to recess, or we don't have to play basketball, or we don't have to go to lunch, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, a real consequence.
And so you got to, and I see it. I see these really good teachers do it, and the kids will go, oh, I don't want to lose lunch.
Yeah.
And they'll go, okay, I'll be quiet. But you sense they're only quiet for like a minute until they get in line and go. But it's really a wake-up call, man. You want to get a wake-up call? sub for a day. I mean, you'll be reaching for those Marlboro Lights. You'll be reaching for a Kent. Do they still do Kents?
I don't know.
Do you smoke at all?
Yeah.
Who smokes out there? Do we have any smokers?
Yeah.
You smoke a little bit, right?
A little, yeah.
You know, I really never smoked. I think I had one when I sang a karaoke song. I wanted to, but, you know. It's,
just for the image, yeah.
But smokers, how many people smoke anymore? Isn't it just seen like a taboo? Or is it 10%, 20%?
Might be just Madison.
Really?
It's a little taboo. Yeah, I think people still smoke.
So in Avildon or Fond du Lac, people?
People smoke, yeah.
People smoke? I mean, more people smoke.
They're on their porch or whatever.
So you're thinking maybe it's a Madison elitist highbrow thing.
I think so, yeah.
Because the people I know in Madison, if somebody smokes,
Right.
I mean, you're seen as like a living under the trailer park.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, is that pretty much it? And looking back, and bless her heart, my ex-wife, she really smoked, you know, a lot. Still does. And now I wonder, of course, I don't know if it would matter because nobody would have me, but would I date a smoker? I mean, ask yourself that. I got to be honest, I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I could smell it in the morning right away.
You know. If you smoke inside, then you can't have that.
Well, three rooms over, you can smoke, you can smell it, right?
Right.
And the one thing about the schools that, you know, when I was a kid, the teacher's lounge would be like a smog. The smoke would come billowing out of the door. Now you can't smoke in the school.
On the grounds, probably.
Can't smoke in the grounds.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
See, I was against the smoking ban when they tried to do the bars. Mm-hmm. Well, geez, I mean, the smokers buy the most food, buy the most drinks.
Yeah, I think it should still be
a
choice.
They probably buy 80% of the food. But you know what? Here we are.
Here we are, yeah.
Right? I think some of the mom and pops went out, got hit, you know.
Yeah.
But the yuppie bars downtown, they probably got helped.
Probably, yeah.
And the people at the time who were even conservative Republicans I know who don't like smoke, they thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
They go, what about property rights? Or No, I go out, I don't want to breathe smoke. So it was a kind of a...
Yeah.
Emerging.
It's an old argument, but yeah, because it could be a speed, well, don't go to that bar, go to a non-smoking bar, you know.
Yeah, but those didn't work. Until they had it mandatory, those didn't work.
Right.
In fact, Pooley's on the east side, sports bar, they voluntarily did no smoking for a while.
Before.
They lost so much money, they didn't bring it back.
Yeah.
They brought smoking back. Because what would happen is the person would write a letter later, oh, my husband and I went out, it was so nice, we didn't breathe any smoke. We had a glass of wine and a nice steak, and it was great. When's the last time you've been out? Oh, maybe 3 months ago. Now, see, smokers are out 4 nights a week or 6 nights a week buying drinks and buying food. They're the ones who would support the small bars.
Right.
Now, the yuppie bars, you know, they do better without the smoke.
They get the crowds anyway, sure.
Young people, are they smoking? Are they?
No, they're vaping. That's the new thing.
Vaping?
Yeah.
If you're going to smoke, why would you? I mean, if you're going to vape, why don't you just smoke?
I don't know.
Is vaping better for you?
They say.
It's like the Paris Climate Accord. You vape. We're going to make France vape. We're going to make Germany and India vape. Yeah, that's part of the deal. By 2025, we're going to vape. Jim Fetzer is coming on. Our conspiracy guy. Who knows what? There's all kinds of stuff going on. Somebody in front of me about Seth Rich. On Facebook. Yes, I still want to know why he was shot. DNC data analyst shot in 2016 last July.
Year.
Yeah. And didn't take his wallet. And people say, oh, that's a bogus story. Well, why was he shot? I still don't know why he was shot. Tell me why he was shot. And there's that story. There's the guy John Ash. You heard that one? President of the UN in 2013. He was going to testify against Charlie Tree, who was a Clinton Foundation donor and gave Clinton money in the past. And this guy, John Ash, had his windpipe crushed last June. I mean, there's all that stuff, man. You can read about that stuff. But Jim knows it all. He's been following it all. It's coming up next on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6 a.m. Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6 a.m. and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6 a.m. shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6 a.m.'s brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6 a.m. digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6 a.m. marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Time for our conspiracy guy, Jim Fetzer. Hello, Jim.
Oh, Mitch, it's great to be with you. I spent the whole day watching the Comey testimony and commentaries about it, so I got a lot to report.
You are big. Before you do that, though, to me, conspiracies, what about this I'm reading here? Scott Walker would consider having it told for people just entering Wisconsin from Illinois, but not people going to Illinois from Wisconsin. So I'm thinking, what if you're going out of the state and coming back and you live in Wisconsin? You'd be on the hook, man.
The whole idea of toll roads in Wisconsin reflects that he's totally mismanaged the state economy since he came into office. He refused the $800 million in federal support for high-speed rail from Milwaukee to Madison. He took $800 million out of public education. I don't know whose pockets those went into, Mitch, but they haven't benefited the citizens of Wisconsin.
But, Jim, they have a record amount of revenue currently. They have an all-time high amount of revenue. So they got plenty of money.
Why would it be necessary to have any toll roads, Mitch?
I mean, could be politics.
Yeah, well, that's
very true. They're not short of money right now. They really aren't. But anyway.
Put it into roads and infrastructure then. That's where it belongs.
Sure. We got to put you on the committee to run the show, Jim.
put you in one of those special committees. Now,
I love it.
By the way, before we get to Comey, on my Seth Rich, somebody ridiculed me about Seth Rich because the families were upset about it, and Fox retracted the story, and Hannity had to stop talking about it. But
they're murdering people to shut it up. They got a DNC PR guy speaking for the family. The family cares about the truth. The Democratic National Committee does not. We had a federal prosecutor just wash up on a beach in Florida. Guess what? It was in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district, not far from the residence of the judge who's supervising the case.
Don't you hate when people wash up on the beach? Can't they do a better job of disposing of the body, Jim? I mean, come on.
But you are mentioning some of the other deaths related here, which is fairly...
John Ash, right? John Ash?
That's right. WikiLeaks attorney John Jones run over by a train on April 8th. Former UN President John Ash died on June 22nd. 48-year-old Mike Flynn, an investigative reporter, died on June 23rd. 47-year-old Joe Montano, Tim Kaine's aide and DNC staffer, died the day the DNC convention started. Investigative journalist Victor Thorne, who wrote four books on the Clinton crime family, was found shot dead.
Oh my.
He had said, "If I'm found dead, it was not a suicide. I would never kill myself." 38-year-old Sean Lucas.
All right, enough. I'm losing count, Jim. There's so many.
I know. They're killing too many people.
It's like rattling off Tiger Woods' tournaments. I just, enough. But, I mean, good Lord.
Tiger, it's a bloody shame, he wrecked his career.
Well, I think he'll come back. But anyway, so the conspiracies like that are still out there. You can read them on the internet, whatever. But Comey was out there, and, we were arguing about whether it was obstruction, but I don't think it was. But, impeachment's only political, Jim. I mean, they could do whatever
they want.
It's not legal.
It's political. That's right, Mitch. Yeah. In fact, the murder of Seth Rich is tied in here because they're trying to obfuscate and claim that it was Russian hacking that got the DNC emails into the hands of Julian Assange, but it was Seth Rich. Seth Rich took all those emails. The FBI even has a laptop of Seth Rich that has some 40,000 DNC emails in contact with WikiLeaks, Mitch, so it's all tied together.
Why does the FBI deny that, Jim? They say that on the laptop.
Well, that's a great question. Comey appears to be a Hillary Clinton stooge, I'm sorry to say.
Well.
But, there's this whole thing you were alluding to about, him having told Trump having told Comey he hoped this thing about Flynn would go away.
Right.
Hoping isn't a directive. The fact that Comey took it that way doesn't mean it was meant that way. They're not going to be able to establish intent.
Well, we both know he meant it that way, but he didn't, do the order,
Right. And the fact is that Comey had told Trump three different times he wasn't the subject of an FBI investigation. Comey also testified Trump supported the goal of getting a wider Russian investigation, told him if some of his satellites were involved,
wanted to me, that was the best exculpatory part of it, when he said, if some of my satellites did something wrong, I want to nail them. And Comey said, yes, that's what he said. So there's enough cover for the lawyers here. Have you seen Trump's lawyer, by the way? The guy's got that hair that he probably spent $100 on his haircut. He's got one of those, Mark Kasowitz.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, right.
Sort of like your hair, Jim. Your hair is similar to that. It's kind of a...
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was a good move to bring in this private counsel at this point in time or not, Mitch, because the whole thing is pretty much blowing apart. In particular, Town Hall has a show called Tip Sheet by a guy named Guy Benson, and he published an inventory of what he took to be the pros and cons, for Trump and against Trump, and I think that the for Trump were overwhelmingly more important. He also included that former attorney, General Loretta Lynch had attempted to interfere in the Clinton email investigation, ordering Comey to call it not an investigation, but a matter. Yeah. Despite having testified previously, Mrs. Clinton had violated the statutory language of the Espionage Act, where their improper email scheme and running through her various deceptions about it, Comey claimed there was no criminal case to be made. He refused to comment on questions about the current Attorney General's conflict with Russia.
Before you get ahead of your skis, Jim, I thought it was striking that Comey said, I'm doing the investigation on the emails, and Loretta Lynch told me to say it was a matter, not a... And then he went ahead and did it. He said it. He didn't tell her, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it's an investigation. He said it was a matter. And then the press went nuts, so that he changed it. See, I think he cares a lot about what people say. I think he's kind of thin-skinned, I think.
Yeah.
Comey. Because because when Cornyn said to him, will the investigation go on, even though you're fired, he hesitated. He goes, well, I'm biased.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, Mitch. You got it.
What does that mean? I mean, aren't they going to continue the work without him? Because he said that earlier. He said no one's indispensable.
But it's been handed off to Mueller now. You know, Mueller's supposed to be investigating. But as Dershowitz observed weeks ago, Mitch, if he had collusion with Russia, there's no law against it.
Yeah, I want to ask about that because you're a lawyer, but I want to speculate on that whole thing. What if they did collude in the phone booth? I mean, there's no phone booths anymore. It had to be in the restaurant booth. And that Russian ambassador has been to a few restaurants, hasn't he, Jim? I mean, he's, you know.
Indeed. And enjoyed them all.
He's been to the Dubliner and out the capital, Capitol Hill sector. Conspiracy guy is with us, Jim Fetzer. Your calls as well if you'd like to weigh in. Aren't conspiracies fun? Oh, by the way, you just had the anniversary of Bobby Kennedy's assassination, Jim, a couple of days ago, right? With more with Jim Fetzer. And if you don't believe it, just enjoy it on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Let our family help your family.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. How big or how small a case will you take on?
I've helped all sorts of people over the years, from very small cases up to multi-million dollar cases. We do try to be selective in the cases that we handle as a matter of economics and devoting the proper time that I can to a case. We do advise some people that if their case is small enough, they may be better off handling it themselves. Not everyone needs a lawyer. Sometimes it's not in their best interest to have a lawyer, and I've told many people over the years that your case is of modest enough value that I think you're better off handling this yourself. So it's only when we think we can make a meaningful difference in the outcome for them that we're willing to accept their case.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, and Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Talking to conspiracy guy Jim Fetzer. He's got another show coming up, right, Jim? You're on another show after this?
Yeah. The raw deal on rinseradio.com, Mitch.
Rinse radio, like rinse your hair?
No, R-E-N-S-E. R-E-N-S-E radio.com.
Oh, R-E-N-S-E, Rents.
Yeah, for Jeff Rents, yeah.
Yeah, rentsradio.com, yeah. Well, before we go on to the more stuff here, you know, it's June, June 8th right now? Two days
yeah.
After the death of Robert Kennedy,
Bobby.
49 years ago, yeah.
I'm very touched you bring that up. I admired Bobby beyond words. I've even said to people, I would have gladly given my life for his. He was a wonderful human being, and his murder has never been addressed properly by the American government. He was shot four times from behind, Mitch. I mean, Sirhan unloaded his weapon, but he was in front of Bobby, never got close enough to hit him. Bobby died from a shot fired.
Not from behind, surely, yeah.
Yeah, inch and a half behind his ear, he died from
the one shot. One shot killed him.
Right, the fatal shot was fired from an inch and a half behind his right ear.
Right.
And Thomas Noguchi, who is a world-famous medical examiner, did the autopsy, and because it was at variance with the LAPD's official report, Noguchi, believe it or not, was fired. I mean, the NYPD was involved in this with the CIA. I published an article about identifying three of the key agents of the CIA at the ambassador that night, including George Ioannidis. And
David Morales, right?
Gordon Campbell and David Sanchez Morales, exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they were ID'd. I saw the film. They were all ID'd by former CIA guys.
That's right. One of whom I knew, Bradley Ayers, was an Army officer, was attached to the CIA at J.W. Wave down in Miami, which was the only CIA station ever set up in the USA.
By the way, Shane O'Sullivan wrote a good book called Who Killed Bobby, and they did a documentary, too. So,
yes. We've been in contact before. I'll tell you what's interesting about this town hall thing, Mitch, is that I put up a comment. Here's what I wrote. The Russian involvement, because at the end of this, they say, you know, at least we know there's Russian involvement, you know, that no one's denying it.
Oh, on the hack?
Yeah. Well, it was in response to their survey of all the questions, you know, that Comey gave his testimony.
Oh, yeah, right.
What was good and bad about it. And I wrote the Russian involvement story is, they said it wasn't fake news. So I wrote the Russian involvement story is fake news. The book Shattered explains that Robbie Mook and John Podesta made it up within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech to explain why
she
didn't get,
she gave one the next day, yeah. Well,
this is insulting beyond belief. We know the so-called Russian dossier was also a complete fabrication.
No, but Comey testified that he knew in the spring of 16 that it was the Russians. So you're saying he's lying.
Yeah, ridiculous. It wasn't the Russians. It's ludicrous. Completely ludicrous, Mitch. The point is they took down my first comment, but I put up another when I discovered they'd taken it down that said, let's see, Vladimir Putin has denied there was any Russian hacking. Julian Assange and Craig Murray both know the leaker and have asserted he was not Russian. Seth Rich appears to have been killed for leaking the DNC emails to Julian Assange. Julian has offered $20,000 for information.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
Yeah, leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever was responsible for his death. A fourth-year surgery resident at WHC has reported he was alive and well when they treated him. But 8 hours after his rival, LEO's law enforcement officer, swarmed the hospital and put him off limits, he'd been expected to survive but expired after their arrival.
Yeah, that's the theory, that he was killed in the hospital, yeah.
He was. He died in the hospital. The investigation of the murder has been stopped by the D.C. federal attorney, who's the brother of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. The body of the prosecutor pursuing the case washed up on a Florida beach in her district.
What prosecutor? I didn't think... ongoing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got it, Mitch. Give
Why would the prosecutor be in Florida? The murder was in D.C.
Yeah, that's the point. The murder investigation has been shut down by Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, so he was just down there swimming around with the flipper and the sharks and came to wash it up?
No, it was the prosecutor. This is the federal attorney.
So the case was shut down, so the would-be prosecutor, you're saying, was in Florida.
The would-be prosecutor was washed up on the beach in Florida, yes, but Debbie Wasserman Schultz's brother is a federal district attorney for the District of Columbia, and he shut down the Seth Rich murder
investigation. Oh, I see, yeah. Well, I think there's something rotten on that one, and people make fun of me on Facebook, but I don't care. He was shot in the back, and nobody took his wallet, so what can I say?
Mitch, you're 100% correct.
Well,
you're
100%
correct.
Are we going to be in trouble talking about this case? I mean, they're going to go look for us.
I don't know. We got a leaked classified FBI memo showing Seth Rich had DNC emails on his laptop, hints at WikiLeaks ties. I mean, this just goes on and on. John Podesta's former sister-in-law is on the D.C. Police Foundation board. Turns out the chief of police for the D.C. police is tied into Pizzagate.
Pizzagate. I don't like talking about Pizzagate, but you know,
I know you don't.
I have certain rules, but that'll be fine. The Rich thing bothers me. The John Ash thing bothers me.
Yeah.
And the attorney for Assange, you said, was hit by a train in April or something?
Yeah, subway, right. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Kind of reminds me of House of Cards, Jim. You ever watch House of Cards?
I never have, Mitch.
Oh. Do you have Netflix? Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
You have Netflix? And you have not seen House of Cards?
No.
Oh,
I know.
Jim.
Kevin Spacey, right?
Oh, Jim, you would be addicted. You wouldn't be able to stop watching it.
Okay.
I watch segment. I watch. Huh?
I'll take your advice.
Oh, you would not stop. Yeah. You would watch every episode. I watched all of season 5 in a week.
All right. I love it. I love it.
You would love it.
I'll do it.
And you can watch it. You watch it with your wife, because you can't talk to your wife about your conspiracy theories because she won't let you.
That's right. But we can watch movies.
You can watch House of Cards.
Yes.
Of course.
Did you know that Andrea Mitchell even called out Hillary Clinton for drawing a conspiracy theory with no evidence, claiming the Russians were involved in all of this? Even Andrea Mitchell called her out.
They're all saying it's a slam dunk, but I mean,
the DNC data director said Hillary claims are, I can't say the words, Mitch, but one begins with an F and the other begins with a B.
I don't even want to go into that, Jim.
I know.
Late in the show. But they always say 17 of the 18 intelligence agencies all say it was the Russians.
That was never true. There were only 3 that ever made the claim, the FBI, the NSA, and the CIA. None of the others said a peep. None of the others said a peep, Mitch.
What about the Coast Guard? Did they say something?
That's right. The Coast Guard did not take a stand.
No, Jim, I got to tell you, even if I only agree with 5% of your stuff, I love your stuff. You got great stuff out there, man.
Well, I got a brand new book on JFK, Mitch.
Oh, yeah?
It's just printed this week, okay? Go to moonrockbooks.com. It's about 525 pages. It's got over 1,000 photographs and diagrams. It has 15 contributors, Mitch. Moonrockbooks.com. In fact, next week I'm going to bring by a copy for you.
What's the title?
The title is JFK, Who, How, and Why.
Oh, wow.
Well, he would have been 100, last month, 100 years old.
Yeah, but this is very thorough, Mitch.
I'm sure it is, Jim.
Yeah. No, I bring together the best people on all these issues.
By the way, when you watch the film, and I see it sometimes on Netflix, I'm haunted by it, and they show the garage where Oswald gets shot, and there's a big crowd. I mean, he's got all these cops, and they got Ruby at the front of the line. And of course, his lawyer said he just decided to go at the last minute. How did he get to the front of the line? There's a guy with a fedora at the front of the very front of the line. So he's obviously, he was waiting for it to happen. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That was all staged. They had Oswald change his shirt into a dark sweater so you couldn't see where he'd been hit. You couldn't see the blood.
Why'd they do that? Why'd they care for that? What was the big deal there?
They don't want you to see where he'd been shot so you could tell if it was serious or non-serious.
Oh,
but it appears they were giving him CPR in the ambulance, Mitch, which is the wrong thing to do with somebody who's suffered from internal injuries.
Well, you know what?
Charles Crenshaw, who is a collaborator of mine, was responsible. He was not only in trauma room 1 when JFK was brought in, but 2 days later responsible for his care and treatment in trauma room 2. He got a phone call. The operator at the hospital said it was from the president, and it was Lyndon Johnson telling him he wanted a deathbed confession. He told Lyndon he didn't think it would happen because he was coming around. It looked like he would survive, but Lyndon said there'd be a guy in a trench coat there to take the confession. He went back, and there's a very sinister guy in a trench coat who appears to have been David Sanchez Morales.
A lot of trench coats. Yeah, Morales is a bad figure. I think he's
bad
a,
dude.
Yeah.
But Oswald took a turn for the worse, and they were unable to extract a confession from him for a time.
At least
he did not commit.
At least reporters served as pallbearers because nobody else would, you know, for Oswald. But Jim Fetzer, we thank you so much. Moonrockbooks.com, the JFK book. Like I say, I love the conspiracy stuff. It's entertaining, if nothing else. We thank you very much.
I'll bring you the book next week, Mitch.
All right, very good, Jim. Take care. We thank Bob Keller, who may not go for this conspiracy stuff. Bob Keller provides the space here in West Wash. Check out his properties, KellerApartments.com. That's KellerApartments.com. Mike Brockenfeld, we thank you. And Bob Abella, Wide World of Radio, is next. This has been the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.